And we're back. It is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And I remind you, by the way, May 8th, the station is fundraising. So get ready. I know you want to help us out. And we're joined now, I believe, by Senator Yuen Pao Wu. Are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
Hey, thank you very much. This is such an important subject. And your initiative, taking on this contentious idea, which is now being editorialized about, called the basically Foreign Agent Registration Act, I guess, something along those lines, is a really bad idea. And I guess the starting point for me is that people arguing for this, and I know you will help us with the background of all this, but arguing for it are using the, in politics it's called stampede or bandwagon. They say the situation is urgent. The Globe editorial said that we need it now. It has to be done right now before anything worse happens. And I guess I belong to the skeptical school. They haven't shown me anything has happened at all yet. I mean, today's Globe has more leaks concerning alleged interference, but they're of a type that I think should cause Canadians to take pause and say, let's give this some thought. You come from the Chamber of Sober Second Thought. Tell us your view of this issue.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. And, you know, this is an opportunity for first thought, not even second thought, because the government has mooted this idea of what they call a Foreign Influence Transparency Registry. And they're asking for input. There is a formal consultation process underway, and I'm glad you have picked up on this. I encourage your listeners to also pick up on the consultation and offer views to the government, because now is the time to warn against the dangers of this idea. The motivation is, it's correct. I mean, the government wants to fight foreign interference. It wants to protect Canadians. It wants to make sure that we are not threatened by malicious actors, domestic or in this case foreign. But this is, I think, the wrong tool. Mm-hmm. It will probably create more harm than good. And it will not solve the most egregious forms of foreign interference that we are told are happening in this country already. And that's why I and many others oppose it, or at least are wary of it, and why we have advanced and are promoting a petition in the House of Commons for others to also join us in calling for caution.
Yes. By the way, that petition is yourviewsmatter.ca. You're invited to read that, and also some very important, helpful, I would call it, commentary on this issue. One of the things that strikes me is like what happened again today in the Globe. We're reading stories which are feeding people's fears, and fear is not a good advisor, as you know, saying that a source, an anonymous source, is sharing thesis information. So it becomes, the way it's done is that thesis says, when in fact, to my knowledge, thesis hasn't said anything other than what I saw in front of in Parliament. But under this anonymous source who's leaking information has what we call color of authority.
Yeah.
And it gives it a kind of a gravitas, when in fact we don't know who this is, and we actually don't know for a fact that those are CSIS documents. And it,
correct.
It bothers me that they, the Globe writes, they said that, that the Globe has seen. I know that's a journalistic cover, but actually the Globe didn't see that. An individual saw it. And it's, you know, when something this important is happening or being said, it seems we shouldn't proceed unless that individual or those individuals are going to come forward and say who they are, how they know what they know, and et cetera. You can't cross-examine a document.
That's absolutely right. And the problem is that all of the recent allegations around foreign interference in elections as well as more generally, all of them have been based on anonymous, unsubstantiated sources, allegedly from thesis, seen only by the journalists writing about them. And I have to say that almost all of them have also focused exclusively on Chinese Canadians. So yeah. there's a whiff about it that I really do not like.
Yeah.
And the only reason, or one of the reasons why these anonymous, unsubstantiated stories are getting traction is number one, because they're published by, you know, allegedly reputable newspapers. But secondly, you put your finger on it, it's because of fear. It's because they are pointing at something dark and scary,
yes,
and ominous that all of us instinctively recoil from. So I understand when Canadians read this and they say, oh my God, we need to do something about it.
Yes.
But a Foreign Influence Transparency Registry, what's that going to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, and unfortunately, they do point it, and I know you've taken this up, they say one of the arguments is a kind of a leverage argument that our large friends, our allies, by the way, they don't go into what they mean by all these words, our allies, are impatient with us, and we need to be more like the United States and Australia. And well, I guess happily, they of course had to say that the United States has had this kind of legislation since 1938. And people familiar with American history know that that hasn't been a happy story. But what is this idea that we should, where does that come from? Do we have to be like the Australians?
Well, that's actually very revealing, you know, this kind of argument, because it's actually, it's not about whether there is a threat in Canada. It's about aligning with the so-called allies, the U.S. in particular. And there may be a reason to ally with the U.S. on a number of issues, but that should not be the principal calculus as to whether we have a Foreign Influence Transparency Registry.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look at the American law, it's called FARA, the Foreign Agent Registry Act. The simple question to pose is whether FARA has led to less foreign interference and foreign influence in the United States than before FARA existed. Mm-hmm. And the simple answer surely is no. And on that basis alone, I think we can discount the argument that we should imitate the Americans. There are many stories of FARA-type overreach in the United States, and it's an overreach that has hurt lives, stigmatized individuals, and encouraged a kind of national security mentality that has been stifling to political debate in the United States. We don't want that for Canada.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, when they talk like that, they seem to be putting words in the Americans' mouths, because if the Americans want that, why don't they come stand up and say that? Otherwise, it seems to be, again, kind of passing along gossip. Every time I hear Five Eyes, I say to myself, well, Five Eyes inevitably involves foreign influence, because you're actually, five of you are meeting. And so one guy is influencing the other guy. As near as I mean, otherwise it doesn't work.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, there's a book published recently. It's been cited in the press about how the Americans were upset about how we weren't taking enough action to counter certain acts of foreign influence. And what the book reveals that is that the way the Americans came to this conclusion was that they ran a covert operation in Canada to find out that we weren't doing enough. So, yes. You know, enough said, right?
Yes. No, it's all problematic. I wish, by the way, that we'd hear louder voices from the... There used to be a community called Civil Liberties, and who were quick to worry about the phenomena, which has become a word, McCarthyism, the idea of also of loyalty oaths, and this does smack of... it will lead inevitably, I would think, if you start down that road to loyalty oaths. And
it will.
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
It will indeed. And in fact, you know, the reason why I am so worried is because the very consultation paper released by the government gives us an example of what they consider to be malign foreign influence. I invite all of your listeners to look at that example in the consultation paper. And it basically says that if a Canadian academic meets with a foreign official, that foreign official asks the academic to write an op-ed that goes against the Canadian position. The Canadian academic then writes the piece, but, you know, doesn't tell everyone that he had a meeting with the foreign official. That's an example of malign foreign influence. Now,
oh, my goodness.
You can see, I mean, I have some sympathy to the way the story is constructed and why it creates unease among Canadians. But if you think just a little bit more deeply, I think what the conclusion you will have to reach is that the only way in which the government can decide that the op-ed by the Canadian academic is malign is in the views expressed by this person. And it would be virtually impossible to determine whether the conversation was the foreign official influencing the Canadian, or the Canadian influencing the foreign official, or
yes,
some kind of meeting of minds between the two.
Yes.
And what we're going to end up with, basically, is a registry that, while on paper may be very strict about what is deemed registrable, will often default to registration based on your view.
Mm-hmm.
That's the definition of McCarthyism.
Yeah. We're speaking to Senator Yuen Paul Wu, and by the way, at your sites, and you, I urge people to go to Senator Yuen Paul Wu .ca, because there are really excellent documents there. You had, of course, a letter to Minister Mendocino about this on foreign influence. And, you know, you just, of course, was citing this example. And you, as you said in your letter to the minister, it sends chills. It should send, well, shivers, get the right word, shivers down your spine. But it says an individual employed by a foreign government asks a prominent Canadian academic, asks. So that sounds to me like it could be an ordinary conversation that op-ed writers and embassy people would have with each other. Among other reasons is that you want to get your facts straight, right? If you're not going to do a piece. But there's, you used a word, I noticed it, you said, and just now, I mean, agency. Why is it assumed that the professional foreign influencer is the only operative figure here? That it couldn't be all this going in the opposite direction?
That's absolutely right. Now, you know, to be fair to the government, what they're trying to get at is the covert nature of this interaction. But, you know, even if it's fully disclosed that I had a meeting with a certain official from a certain country and we talked about this and that issue, I'm almost certain that I will be judged not by the fact that I had the meeting, but by the substance of my article. For example, if I had a meeting and I wrote an article that was entirely in favor of a government position on a certain issue, do you think that would be a problem? Mm-hmm. Of course not.
No.
So that's why the whole issue, I think the problem, Phil, if I may, the problem is that we're trying to pin something down called foreign influence that is almost impossible to pin down. Foreign influence is everywhere. Think about what your views are.
It's the air we breathe. By the way, I don't know how citizens are supposed to participate unless they can hear and see the maximum amount of information.
Correct.
It strikes me that we're trying to leverage information here, and only, I mean, for example, all this leaking business, we're treating all the leaks as though they're authoritative, when we have no basis at all. I mean, that's the sad part of it for me, is that why don't we go full stop and say, well, we can't proceed further because we don't know who these people are, because one suspects there's a political agenda behind whomever is doing this.
That's the right question. What is the agenda of the individual or individuals who are leaking these documents? And I can tell you, Phil, that the source document from many years ago that many of these leakers are still referring to, it's called the Sidewinder Files. Those documents, that story, was produced by a journalist called Andrew Mitrovica, mm-hmm. and he has denounced these leaks on the basis that you cannot trust leaked documents. And he is the one who came up with the Sidewinder documents to start with.
Yes.
As he said in articles he's written, to call these loose pieces of information intelligence is a misnomer, because they are just pieces of information that are floating out there. That's what intelligence agencies do. They collect information which may or may not be accurate, and they put it together to paint a picture that the political class has to then decide if it's credible and what to do about it. And that's why these leaks are so damaging, because they provide no context, they have no verification, there is no way to understand the motivations and the agendas behind the leakers, and yet, as you say, everybody seems to be taking them as gospel truth.
Yeah, to my mind, and incidentally, one or both or all of these individuals, they did write a little op-ed piece, and they said, oh, we're prepared to take our lumps or my lumps or whatever it is. And I would say, look, run for office. You're a hero. You thought you should do this. I don't even want to lock him up. By the way, I do understand that if it says top secret, you're supposed to get in trouble, but maybe not. I'm not going to persecute the individual,
right.
But I would say run for office.
Yeah.
And on this issue, and this is an old one. I know you're the senator, independent senator from British Columbia, but I've began to dig into this, and I noticed that going back to 2010, we had political individuals in this country who were trying to make this an issue, like to leverage it for political advantage, talking about, oh, there's foreign influence. And we had this election where we had a loser in the campaign say he was shocked that he lost. Everybody who loses is shocked because they think the public loves him, but he said he was shocked. And his only explanation was it must have been external influence, but he had raised the issue of foreign agent registration. And when I saw that, I was following the campaigns, when I saw that, I thought, that is not going to win you any votes. Because the public, right across the board, has some issues with the idea of, and hear the word registration, they think, oh, trouble is coming, right?
Absolutely, and that's the reason he lost.
That's what I thought.
The explanation he's given is what sore losers do. His private member's bill was flawed. But here we are again. Now the government is pushing this same idea. I'm hoping that they will be much more temperate in whatever outcome they land on. But now is the time, to go back to the start of our conversation, now is the time for Canadians to voice their concerns, because the registry at best could produce a little bit of good, but at worst, it could be very harmful for political discourse, for civic engagement. It could be very harmful for certain communities that are more vulnerable to registration and the stigmatization that comes with it.
Yes, and by the way, in your letter, and I do urge listeners, please go to Senator Yuen Paul Wu, the site, because you discuss this at length, and the letter to Minister Mendocino is particularly helpful, I believe, on that matter, because at the end of the day, the people should be able to decide and have political discourse without someone suggesting we have to vet candidates, we have to vet parties, and look at certain communities. We know that in the case of Japanese Canadians, that was a very unhappy moment, and everybody said, oh, we wouldn't do that again. When I read these articles, I'm not so sure. And could you talk? We need to mention the Chinese Exclusion Act.
Yeah.
And because
yes,
that involved also, it wasn't just exclusion, there was also a matter of registering.
Absolutely. You know, the correct name for that bill, 1923, was the Chinese Immigration Act. That, of course, was a misnomer because it actually allowed for no immigration, which is why it was then referred to for many years in the Chinese community as the Chinese Exclusion Act. But one could just as well have called it the Chinese Registration Act, because the practical impact of that bill is that every Chinese person in Canada had to register with the authorities within 1 year mm-hmm. of the act coming into force. And if they failed to register, they would have been threatened with jail, fines, and or deportation. And even after they registered, they were constantly hounded by the commissioners or, you know, the enforcers, who would ask Chinese in Canada to produce their documents, and they would be constantly a challenge as to whether they were who the documents said they were. Yeah. So, you know, that's 100 years ago, and I'm not suggesting for a moment that we will have the same thing in 2023. Mm-hmm. But we have to be so vigilant about modern forms of exclusion. Mm-hmm. And a foreign influence registry, as is being discussed now, done wrong, done badly, would be no better than the Chinese Exclusion Act of 100 years ago.
Yeah. No, I saw former Prime Minister Chrétien. I thought I was glad he finally got some airtime. He said, we brought in legislation. We have strong protection of the procedure, as stronger than any, and most of our, actually, I think he said stronger than our allies. Which is the old slogan, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Right, and you know, that's a very good point, because I am against foreign interference. I'm against anybody, particularly foreigners, you know, trying to bully or harass or intimidate Canadians on our soil. But we have laws against that. We
yes.
have laws in the criminal code against harassment and intimidation. If it's a problem of law enforcement, well, let's talk to law enforcement and find out why they aren't, you know, cracking mm-hmm. down.
Yes.
If the law has loopholes that makes it more difficult to prosecute offences, then let's look at possibly changing the laws.
Yes.
But a foreign influence registry, what good will that do to the really harmful acts of harassment and intimidation
yes.
that are alleged to be happening in this country?
Yes. Well, it's been very edifying. Senator Yuen Paul Wu, we're very grateful. And that's the site you have, Senator Yuen Paul Wu. I really urge people to write to .ca. People should go to your site. It's been very edifying. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you. And if you would also look at petition E4395, it's a House of Commons petition. Again, E4395. Everything I said is reflected in that petition. Would love to get support from your listeners.
Thank you very, very much. Look forward
Thank
to talking to you again.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Senator Yuen Paul Wu. And believe me, I have found this, I find, first of all, the interview very helpful, but actually his the site is also has excellent essays. You know, Phil, on this program, we talked about this thing called the Indo-Pacific strategy, and the senator's essay at his site on the Indo-Pacific concept is the best I have read, I have to tell you, because we've all found it a quandary why the Canadian government has decided to create a term which is only causing confusion. But his essay will help you on that. This is the Tato Report. It is May Day, and all of our friends around the world have it as a holiday, but we're protected here. So you wait until September, and you can show your loyalty at that time. So, all right, May 8th, we're going to be fundraising. See you then.